You're listening to the CryptoCast podcast.
Welcome to the Crypto and Blockchain Talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Guten Tag.
Hallo.
Hola.
Shalom.
Hallo.
Namaste.
Ni hao.
Vivet.
Hello.
Salut.
Yassas.
Salve.
Ciao.
Bonjour.
Our podcast talks about the latest trends in the worlds of cryptocurrencies and the blockchain.
Welcome to the New Wild West, the land of ICOs. Everybody, I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Crypto and Blockchain Talk, where we're going to be talking about initial coin offerings or ICOs. This is a relatively new way. Well, I say relatively new. It's been around now for quite some time, but it's still a relatively new way of raising money for startups, and they're raising money through using cryptocurrency. Blockchain technology companies who want to raise funds for their projects use ICOs, and they're also called ITOs, or initial token offerings, which are very much like the Kickstarter or GoFundMe crowd starting events. And for those of you who do not know what coins or tokens are or what the difference is, we have a prior episode in Crypto and Blockchain Talk called Coins, Tokens, and Getting to Know Them. So I recommend that you listen to that podcast so that you can understand the difference. With an ICO, you invest your money or you participate in an ICO, and you will then get coins or tokens. And these tokens can be used to either purchase the product or service that is being built, which puts it in a frame of something called a utility token, meaning that the coin or token is actually used to use the product or service that is being created by the company which is holding the ICO. Or you can get tokens or coins which would entitle the holder to a profit share or some kind of dividend drop, which would then put it in the class of being a security. In other words, the coin or token would act more like an investment than the utility token, which allows you premium access to the goods and services of that company. The way an ICO works is that, of course, they will write in detail about their purpose in something called a white paper. And in their white paper will be included their idea, and also a roadmap of how they intend on developing themselves from just the idea to an actual business which is turning over profits. In addition to their white paper, they should have an official website, which is where you should be able to find additional information about their team, their tokens, and much more information, including the official investment information, or in other words, the way to participate in that ICO, which will normally tell you exactly how much the tokens cost. And during the ICO, or during the pre-ICO, which is another phase of the ICO, which allows you to access even deeper discounts or bonuses to buy their tokens, all of this information should be included not just in their white paper, but on their official website. And I will also make it very clear here that you have to be sure at every time that you are on the official website of an ICO. You must double check this, because the way it works out there is that many ICOs have had fraudulent websites built so that people will invest in the wrong ICO and never see their cryptocurrency again. So now that you have found the official website of the ICO that you are interested in, or that the business is putting up so that they can raise their funds to create their product or service, it will then allow investors of both small and large capacity to buy into these projects for a fraction of the speculated cost, because once the coin hits the open market, the hope is that once the product is also developed and alpha, beta launches, and then finally live releases happen, the price of that coin or token will explode. These projects as a whole are usually at the beginning stages of development, and many of these ICOs
are no more than just an idea on paper. And this is something else that you need to look out for. Now, I will add that we've done another episode on crypto and blockchain talk called How to Invest in an ICO, which is one of our very first podcasts. And I invite you to download and listen to that today, because that goes into great detail on how to realize which ICOs are the best ones to actually put your hard-earned money towards. So even though many of these ICOs are no more than just an embryonic idea and they have no working product, people will still give to good ideas that they think are going to succeed in the marketplace and succeed by using also blockchain technology. So ICOs took over $2 billion in 2017. And at this current time, there are over 1,500 ICOs that have taken place, with thousands upon thousands more on the horizon, all promising everything under the sun. Now, this is actually, in many cases, a dangerous situation because many ICOs are unregulated. That is, until now. It is only until very recent that the industry in total, meaning the ICOs and everything to do with cryptocurrency and blockchain, has not been taken seriously by governments, financial institutions, or the general population in terms of what ICOs can actually bring to the table and how the impact to the general population who are interested in investing in ICOs, how they are being impacted. So with a market cap today of over $424 billion at this time of recording, it is only now beginning to get the attention it warrants. And I'm talking about cryptocurrency as a whole, the crypto market cap. Now, while many have gotten rich beyond their wildest expectations, and there have been many people who have become very well off from cryptocurrencies and investing within the crypto markets, many others have been defrauded, robbed, and scammed. And even for a discerning mind, it can be difficult to tell the difference about when taking a project at first glance, if it is actually as credible as it seems, because there are even cases where, believe it or not, Ryan Reynolds has even appeared on an ICO as being one of the key advisors. So it is important to scratch at the surface and really do your homework. And as I've already alluded to, we have a prior podcast where we have covered how to really look at an ICO and assess if it is worthy of your hard-earned money. So as 2018 moves forward, governments around the world are taking notice now and passing laws that they feel best protects their citizens, their people. And there are many concerns. One of those concerns is straightforward fraud. So China and South Korea have both banned ICOs for the foreseeable future. And yes, there have been talks of reversing it and replacing with strict regulations, but at this moment, ICOs are banned. In the United States, several SEC investigations have been launched, and we see nothing except for this accelerating and not decelerating. And the SEC in the United States is considering whether it can claim all crypto coins are securities, which means they can only be sold by licensed individuals, institutions, and businesses. Ponzi and pyramid schemes have also been a big problem. USI Tech and BitConnect are two of the largest successful scams to date, taking in hundreds of millions of dollars on false pretenses, only to shut down or be shut down by the government. A substantial amount of money is now leaving the traditional investment sector to a place where it can vanish and never be recovered if a company goes under or, more importantly, if the money is collected by the founders of an ICO and they disappear. For money to have left a country in the past, a wire transfer had to be created, which was recorded and monitored, and took a long time to complete, and there was a large paper trail. Now, a cryptocurrency transaction can move any amount of money around the world in moments, with or without a trace depending on which cryptocurrency is being used. And for this, I would like you to perhaps listen to our podcast on coins, tokens, and getting to know them, where we have a two-part series which addresses the different cryptocurrencies and what their uses are, because there are cryptocurrencies which will allow you to remain unmonitored. Price fixing in the cryptocurrency world is an issue as well, with many coins being mineable or created by computer hardware performing work. Now, it is considered a pump and dump technique to create and flood the market with supply at will to control the price. Some cryptocurrency is untraceable and private, so governments are worried that they will be used for money laundering for criminals and avenues that can use to fund terrorism. And although we cannot directly attribute everything that has to do with terrorism to cryptocurrency, of course, before cryptocurrency, there were many other methods of transferring money which had nothing to do with the crypto space. Of course, it's just another avenue which now the federal authorities in many countries cannot easily investigate and find the actual perpetrator. It is important to mention in context that all of the above activities have always existed and thrived long before cryptocurrency ever came around. So for instance, even though cars are used by bank robbers to make their escape, it doesn't mean that every car is used by someone who's a criminal. And hopefully the same logic will prevail in your own minds. Good and bad use cryptocurrency. But we want everyone to remain very vigilant and understand what's happening in this wild west of ICOs. So despite all the calamity, why are ICOs still growing in popularity? And the reason why is because it really does give many good people with good businesses a chance. And the minimum investment into a Wall Street IPO is tens of thousands of dollars. And many offerings are restricted to accredited investors only, which means that they have a base amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars at their disposal. The common person isn't permitted or well enough off to participate at many profitable stages in traditional finance. Cryptocurrencies and blockchain companies are built and financed by the common person who are united to build something that makes the world a better place. At least that is the hope which is surrounding this entire system. There are crypto communities on many social media channels which have many, many followers who are loyal and investors who truly believe in the projects of their choice and back it almost as much as their favorite sports teams. Now, many countries around the world have made a legal standing in 2018 and addressed their feelings on ICOs in a very vocal manner. And we would like to do a rundown of each of those countries and give you an insight into what is happening on the world stage. So, let's start with China. In China, ICOs have been banned 100%, as we said. That is just for the foreseeable future. The Chinese companies who completed their ICOs were instructed to refund all of the money they received. The government has also banned crypto exchanges and may be soon blocking all sites related to the cryptocurrency industry entirely. When we turn towards the European Union, ICOs are regulated as of November 13, 2017. From this date, an ICO must adhere to the anti-money laundering, AML, and know your customer, or KYC, policies. Investments cannot be anonymous, and full personal disclosure must be made by investors. As we now look towards the United States, ICOs are now heavily regulated. ICOs are required to obtain a license and register with the SEC. Many who have not considered their own token to be a security have not registered yet and are now fearful the SEC will come after them. Anti-money laundering, again, AML, and know your customer, or KYC, procedures are required. There are more regulations to come from currently ongoing investigations. In Canada, ICOs also are regulated. Depending on the type of coin, it may be classified as a security and is subject to government regulation. Canada looks at each project on a case-by-case basis, rather than in one sweeping law that rules everything related. Meanwhile, in Switzerland, ICOs are now treated with supportive regulation. Laws are friendly and are there to help protect cryptocurrency companies against suffocating regulations that have been seen from other countries, but they go through each ICO to weed out the potential fraudulent and poorly designed projects, hopefully leaving behind a good promising ICO marketplace. In Israel, ICOs are allowed, though a study is being conducted to decide how to regulate these operations in the future. There are plans to introduce tax laws on ICO tokens. In Germany, ICOs are regulated. Germany does warn the public that investments in these projects are risky. And Germany defers to the November 13th of 2017 European Securities Market instructions to comply to securities standards. In Japan, ICOs are allowed, but regulation is on the horizon. Japan is considering whether ICOs could fall under the Payment Services Act or Financial Instruments and Exchange Act. In 2016, Japan declared Bitcoin a legal currency, which is a monumental achievement for the entire crypto community. Now in Russia, ICOs are allowed, and the government is currently watching things unfold while it determines what stance to take. In October of 2017, it issued a ruling that requires all altcoin, which is a term for any cryptocurrency besides Bitcoin, miners to register, and tax laws no doubt will be modified. Turning towards Singapore, ICOs are allowed and regulation will be coming soon, as the Monetary Authority stated in November 2017 that altcoins could qualify as a capital market product and may be subject to existing regulations for other products in that industry. In the Queen's own kingdom herself, the United Kingdom, ICOs are allowed. The government has issued warnings to investors about the risks of investing in these products, calling them experimental. Now, regulation could be coming soon, but there are no clear indicators of what the attitude towards cryptocurrency will be. In Brazil, ICOs are regulated, and virtual currency exchanges are banned. ICOs are considered securities. End of story, and are subject to all applicable laws. In Australia, ICOs are regulated, and Australia looks to weed out scams and fraudulent ICOs, promoting the remaining ICOs as free from fraud. In the UAE, or United Arab Emirates, ICOs are allowed, and the UAE plans to pass regulation at some point in the near future. Furthermore, in Taiwan, ICOs are also allowed, and the Taiwanese government is very supportive of blockchain technology and cryptocurrency. While ongoing legislation is underway in many countries, the crypto market is experiencing extreme volatility and has nearly unimaginable peaks and dips when fears about favorable rules or countrywide bans occur. In February of 2018, the market overall value dropped more than 60% from the January highs as China passed its laws banning cryptocurrencies and exchanges. As of mid-2018, it has since recovered the majority of that loss, but much of that growth happened in a two-week span. It is a scary place to be as a day trader. But for those who really can see the future and the possibilities, we remain optimistic. With so much happening so fast, it can get very confusing very quickly. In some places, there are rules that really do hurt ICOs. And in some places, the rules are not only helping the ICOs, but the citizens of those countries that they apply, and even the citizens of those countries who are not resident where the ICO takes place. Furthermore, there are some places where the rules only apply to the ICO, but not the actual coin and the company itself. But in other places, the rules apply to the entire industry, regardless of the product. So it is safe to expect that as time goes on, only more laws will be implemented, and probably also tax laws will be implemented. Some may see this as a good thing, paving the way for financial institutions and the general public to feel safe in participating in this new financial revolution, boosting the portfolios of everyone else who got in early at the same time. Others feel that these rules are burdening and suffocating a decentralized worldwide market, prohibiting natural growth. In any event, there are many more changes to come in the next few years, and it's an exciting time to be part of this revolution. Thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast, and we invite you back for next week's podcast, which hopefully will be just as informative, educational, and fun. We invite you to subscribe to us on Spotify, TuneIn, and please follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, and Facebook. Thank you again for listening, and we look forward to having you as our listener next week. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the CryptoCast podcast. Stay tuned in for more episodes.